Last week we spoke about the Spirit and this character who introduces and starts off the book of Mark, John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus. We're going to use the same passage, although address some different issues, because there's so much in this. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Or if you want to use the one in the pew book, it's on page 1551. Just starts off quite simply. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Last week, I introduced to you that Mark is going to say how he knows God and has a special word to describe who God is. And I said, I'm going to tell you my word, and then I want you to think of your word. Well, we ran out of time, and I never got to ask you your word. I hope you've had a week to think about a word that you would use to describe your direct knowledge of God. Not about God, but your direct knowledge of God. God reveals himself in, there are 170 or so of you here. God reveals himself to 170 different ways. And I said that my word was that I knew God as a rescuer. It's just happened too many times where I saw that it was only God who got me out of that deal. Mark says that the good news or his word about Jesus, he called him the Messiah, the Son of God. That's how he knew Jesus. Okay, so let me give you a chance now. And just in what's called popcorn style, I want you to say it loud enough so I can hear it, and I'll repeat it. What are some words, or what is a word that you would use to describe your direct knowledge of God? Go ahead and shout it out. Ooh, bunch of them. Okay, let's start over here. What's a word? Redeemer. Another? Hope. Peace. Redemption. Safe. Provider. What's it more? Grace. Inspirer. Comforter. Love. Awesome. You know, for Presbyterians, you're really quite verbal. I mean, and it's fine with me that you're talking over each other. It's fine. It's wonderful. What that tells me is that you know God directly in those types of words. And I didn't catch all of them. I'm sorry. But you know what they are. Let's continue on. As it is written by the prophet Isaiah, who predicted that what the Messiah would be, I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight paths for him. As you look in the rear view mirror of your life, you can see the twists and turns, and you saw God now in the rear view mirror, helping to shape whatever twists and turn that you took at that time. When you're looking back, there were people who helped you along the way. In all likelihood, your parents were instrumental. And I truly hope that they were godly parents who really understood you and helped nurture that thirst, that longing that you have now for God. Hopefully you had some Sunday school teachers, maybe some youth group leaders. I grew up in military chapels on Marine Corps bases, and I have to say, they are not exactly hotbeds of spiritual fervor. And so my parents would often take us to a civilian church off the base. And then periodically my dad would take me to a black church out of town. One of these old white, I mean, you've seen them in pictures, you know. It's the white clapboard church building, dilapidated. And inside there would be 50 or 70 black people and two white guys. And I was learning along the way. And I would see my prayer as a young person. My mother would help me to pray. And she taught me the prayer, which kids often learn. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And these are terrible words to follow. Let's see. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. You don't want to teach a kid that. I mean, that's a terrible prayer. But I did. I pray. Well, I forget the rest of it now. And then she would get me to say, now, let's pray for Grandma and Grandpa. Let's pray for Daddy, who would be overseas fighting some war. Pray for Fluffy, the cat. Pray for your sister, Leslie. And I would learn to add things on as she was teaching me how to do that. But I remember the prayer that came out of my own heart. God, bring my daddy home. I grew up in a place where there were a bunch of us kids, probably 75 of us, something like that. And about once a month, every 2 months for sure, a dad would not come home. The child, the family, the mother, the kids would then have to leave the base or leave the housing. And they just sort of disappeared. And it put a holy, dreadful terror inside the heart of a young boy that would cause him to spontaneously say, God, bring my daddy home. Well, you've had your own story of people preparing you to have a spiritual thirst inside of you, and you are here today, and you have suffered as a congregation some issues and some losses in the past, and yet you are still here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I would be curious to know if the human cry inside of you had its own particular prayer. Mine was, God, bring my daddy home. What was yours? I'd be, you know, sometime when we're in conversation, tell me what yours was. Well, I need to move on here. So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, there are five baptisms that are mentioned in the Bible. There's the baptism of Moses when he led the Israelites out of captivity. Waters divided. They went through the waters. That was called the baptism of Moses. There is the baptism of John the Baptist, or baptism of water in this case. There is the baptism of Jesus, where he went through the cross. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which on another occasion we'll speak about. And then there is the baptism of repentance, which is our subject today. You remember last week we looked at the Hebrew word for spirit, and I pronounced the word. You remember the word? Ruach. You know, just in the pronunciation of that word, that is one of the players of the Trinity, one of the God members of the Godhead. And whatever impression you may have had about the Holy Spirit before last week, you did learn two things, that the Holy Spirit is shy and is always pointing towards Jesus. You remember that little illustration? You also remembered that just by in the pronunciation of the word, that the Holy Spirit is no one to be messed with. And so someone came up to me afterwards and said, well, I don't want to offend the Holy Spirit, so I'm just going to ignore him. And I thought, it's good that you don't want to offend or blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but that's not the solution. You're thinking logically to the wrong conclusion, I said. And what you want to do, though, is that if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, speaking to you, urging you to do something, folks, you better do it. Even if you read it wrong, and you find out there was a mistake, that you heard the Spirit wrong, and that happens, folks, at least you responded according to what you thought the Spirit was saying, and good for you. Keep on doing it. Make the mistakes. It's all right. We can always get forgiveness. Unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and then there's no hope. I've got to keep moving here, folks. John wore these funny clothes, it says in verse 6. Clothes of camel hair and leather belt and around his waist, and locusts and wild honey. That's why I said he probably wasn't married. And he gave this message. There's one coming after me whose power that I, the straps of his sandals, I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it was this subject of repentance that is fascinating to me. And I mentioned last week, just in as an aside, that repentance is really not a popular subject. And yet here it is in the first paragraph of the book of Mark. You look in the other Gospels and you will find that it starts off with the message of repentance. You look at the message of Jesus, and in the first sermon, he says, repent. You look at the message in the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit comes to this motley crew of disciples who have been with Jesus, and they're now in this upper room. The Holy Spirit comes. You remember we had whoever the lay leader was last week, she had these this headdress of some flames or something. Without the headdress, I didn't recognize you. Sorry. And so then they leave that upper room, they go downstairs, and there are now thousands, thousands, thousands of people who are coming to hear what this rush of sound is. And Peter stands up, and he says, repent! Okay, let me show you what the Hebrew word looks like. It's printed in your bulletin. It's those big pictograph letters. It's pronounced Nakam. Nakam. Okay, look at the far right-hand letter. Looks like lightning. And indeed, it is. It would eventually become our capital N. And that the word repentance starts off with life. That it's as if lightning is coming down and it sparks life. Yeah, there's also another analogy that it's as if you were walking up to a pond of water, shallow water, and a fish was in the water, and it recognized you looking through the surface of the water, and it swims away. Okay, what that symbol there of the swimming away tells you that there's life in the water as represented by the fish. And so repentance has something to do with life. It gives you life. And then the second letter we looked at last week, it is the fence posts. It would become our H, in this case, sort of a guttural CH. And it's the upright posts. Remember that? String binding the top and the bottom together, and then a board, a stay to push them apart, and you could start stringing these around, and you could make a fence, a pen of any dimension that's really quite durable and sturdy and will keep what you want inside. Okay, the Holy Spirit. When you and I repent, life comes to us. There's a certain protection that comes to us. And then finally, the last letter would become our capital M. And try to picture this. It is a rolling body of water. And it means like here are the peaks and here are the shallows, the draft part. And it means that it is massive. And to make the point, it underlines it to say that this is something not just sort of incidental. It's not just an accessory. It is to be massive. It is to be powerful. And so to repent, here's what repentance means according to the ancient Hebrew letters. It means that you get life. It means that there's going to be some protection that happens to you when you repent. And it's going to be something not incidental, but it's going to be a massive work that occurs in you and me. Now, here's what's interesting about the Hebrew word for repentance. It is the same word for healing. When you and I repent, there's healing that occurs to us. Isn't that wonderful? Not judgment, not harassment, not guilt, but healing. That's the promise. I wish I would have handed out in the bulletin a 3x5 card. And because I believe that the Spirit is speaking to you and me, that you and I, regardless of how close we are to the Lord, there's always time and occasion and room for repentance. Repentance is something like an onion that you can wholeheartedly repent, and it's just sort of like a layer. Then the Spirit comes to you again and speaks to you, and now there's a new layer. Comes and speaks again, yet a new layer. I've been a believer. No, excuse me. I don't use that word much anymore, the word believer. I use the word as the New Testament refers. I refer to the word follower. I've been a follower for about 50 years. A little more than that. And I find that I still repent. I still need to repent. Sometimes of old things that I've repented of. 1,000 times before. Sometimes there are new things. Repentance is one of the valuable tools that we as Christians have that really works. That when you and I repent, we can expect God's blessing, God's favor. We can expect the hand of God to be on us. Folks, I don't want you to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is wonderful. I don't want you to be afraid of repentance. It's expected. It's therapeutic. It's healing. Let me pray a blessing on us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you that Mark, from just the get-go, in his opening paragraph, he speaks about two change agents, the Spirit of God, and this response that we can have of repentance. Now, Lord, lead us and give us the gift of repentance. We cannot repent apart from the gift you give us to repent. And I'm asking that you would give to us as individuals and as a body of Christ this spirit of repentance. That we would confess to you those things that are unbecoming, unlovely, that are not in accordance with who you are, Jesus. That to the extent that we are not like you, that we would repent of those matters, those things, those parts of our life. Now, Lord, thank you. Thank you for getting us started in the book of Mark. Thank you for Mark writing down what he observed about this person that just single-handedly changed history. And we are now the recipients of that. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Bind the evil spirits that would interfere. Cause us to be a people who are known for being repentant and for giving life and good news to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.